Well, when you live near a river, it can often take time to appreciate its biodiversity. Paul and Lise Fearman brought their farm on the upper Scamander River 40 years ago. They've developed a keen interest in learning more about its history and the species that live around it.
We're on the point between Hospital Corner and to the east of Billy Goat Island, which is just around the corner there. It's our house just there. And the river's just starting to go down. It's low tide at the moment.
Is this one of your favourite parts of the farm?
Yes. This and the other ridge that we can walk on to Price's Strait, they're my very favourite pieces. They're not really good for anything farmer-wise, but they have some amazing geological history and they're just very dramatic. So I just love to come here whenever I feel like I've had enough of whatever else is stressing me out. This is where I come. And we stood here when we first came to Tasmania looking for a farm and looked over there, and that's where we made the decision. We could not turn this place down. It's just too beautiful. You can walk a few metres and you've got different soil type, you've got different rocks. And trying to figure out how it all got to be that way is really fascinating.
How did the shape of this river that curves around your farm come to be?
I've actually spent an awful lot of time trying to figure that out. This piece that we're standing on now, I actually don't know what this is made of. There's a lot of loose rocks and they're all held together by sand and clay. And they've been here for a very, very long time because that swamp we can see over there is made out of really fine white clay. And that's deposited at less than millimetres per year. And there's been places in Australia where they have bored down as far as they can and aged the sediments at the bottom and found them to be about 7,000 years old. And I suspect that here it may be even older than that. So it's just been developing really, really slowly over a very, very long time. And that's why we have that beautiful swamp with swans and birds and frogs. And
tell me about the frogs that we can hear in the background.
The ones over there, I think, are banjo frogs. And the ones on this side, we call them cricket frogs. I'm not sure of the proper names. We just started looking at the frogs for that, was it Citizens Wildlife Project? And we've always liked them and been interested in it, a good indicator that the area is healthy.
It's pretty obvious when you live here as long as we have since 1983 that this river is not like a lot of others. It's extremely energetic when it floods and it carries a lot of wood and a lot of gravel, a lot of sand, and the banks are really steep. I sort of felt that we need to look after it a bit better, but it's really hard to understand how to do that because we didn't really understand how it works. And so that's why I started looking at the history of it and the geomorphology of it to try and figure out, you know, what would be the right thing to do. So, for example, we've put sandbags in the drain coming out of that swamp. And one of the reasons we need to do that is because the river level drops much lower now than it used to. When the river mouth was different and very shallow opening, it would be holding the water here much longer. And so because it's been so dry for so many years, the frogs are having a chance at last to succeed with their breeding. They've been breeding like crazy every time there's been a decent rain, but it's dried up before the tadpoles could grow. So then we put the sandbags in and we're holding it in there, which is more how it should be or would have been before the changes happen, and hopefully they'll succeed.
There used to be quite a few more bridges
There used to be one at a time, but they built one after another. They built six before the two that are there now at the river mouth. The first one was in 1865, and the last one before these went down in the big flood that happened in 1929. There's a pretty good record in the Trove National Library archive from the old newspapers about what happened every time a bridge went down, because those bridges really mattered to the community, especially to the people further north from here, because the Scamander River is hard to get over. They had punts when there was no bridge, but they were quite dangerous. There were six bridges in all that went down, and as time went on, the floods that took them down got more and more dramatic, and more amounts of really huge trees kept coming down the river and taking them down. And all of that is in bits and pieces in those old newspapers. By patching that together, I found out that it's got really quite a dramatic history that surely must have made a big difference to the way the river works.
The farm size has shrunk quite a bit since I was last here, probably 3 years ago. What have you been doing? What's your long-term plan for this property?
In the old days, this farm was actually a lot of small holdings. That's why we have so many different titles, and quite a lot of families lived here, and most of them made their living with various other kinds of jobs, plus did something on their farm. And we're kind of going back to that, because we've sold one of the titles, where our cherry orchard is, to a couple from Melbourne, and they're very keen about growing vegetables and continuing to farm there. And we've just sold another block with a house on it to a local couple. Well, he's a local and his wife is from Japan, and they also are very keen to come and live here and, you know, have some ideas about what they'd like to do with that land in time.
And then another block on the other side is the Buckhorn and Mumford estate. So it's sort of going back to a little community. But when you look at the land, it's beautiful land, but it's not really farming. Like, farming land is level and flat and square and fertile, and this is not that. And so it's good for protecting it for nature. And we've got a covenant on all that. We've got 80 acres of it protected by a covenant, just to try and help the wildlife maintain their equilibrium.
So that's gone into your super.
Yes, it has. That was quite a saga. It's been quite difficult dealing with super since that inquiry. They've made a lot of different rules, and the people dealing with it, a lot of them are very nervous about they might get it wrong. And so we had quite a long job to get it done, but we've got a really good financial advisor who's a local girl too, working in Launceston, and she really knows what she's doing. So she's solved a lot of problems for us, and so we've got a much more secure future thanks to that. And also some really lovely neighbours who are happy to be here. And since the COVID and so many people working from home, places like here, where you can be in a beautiful natural area and you can have a little bit of land and you can live a wonderful country life, but you can also have a job and at very interesting jobs, you know, that's been it's suddenly become something that people really want. So it's been very good timing for us.
Yeah, lovely part of Tasmania, Lise St. Paul Fearman at Upper Scamander on the East Coast, chatting to Larissa Smith and learning more about the river that runs through their property and those beautiful sounds in the background, the frogs.